Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I will be talking about business school marketing from an MBA perspective, both for personal and professional reasons. Basically, whatever we dish out to the business schools and the students from the Association of MBAs, I've had it already in advance. The first three topics are a response to the question, where will the students of the future come from? Points 4 to 7 are about the product. What do students look for? Now, AMBA started almost 50 years ago as a British organization, basically an alumni club of MBAs. But now it is no longer British. It is, I call it, a Pareto organization, because we apply the Pareto principle, 80-20. 80% of our accredited business schools are outside of Britain. Only 20% are in Britain. And this is just a snapshot of the number of students out of the more than 40,000 MBA students admitted by accredited business schools, AMBA accredited business schools. A little bit over 10% are at British schools now. Now, globalization, it's clear that things are changing, and things have been changing for at least a decade now. But if you look at the UK, the blue bar shows enrollments on programs run by British schools overseas, outside of the UK, and that 40% of students of British schools are somewhere else, not in Britain. And the red bar shows the number of international students on British campuses in MBA programs, almost 2/3. This is important because, as Andrew talked about global audiences and distinctiveness and the websites, a Chinese student who is reading, who is looking at your school's website, will be seeing different things from what a British student will. So, for instance, the Chinese are much more accustomed to cluttered websites. So they might like something that a British or a European student will hate on your website. Women, as Mao Zedong said once, women hold up half the sky. The MBA used to be a typically male degree. It is no longer male, and that's very encouraging. That's probably the most consistent statistics that we see across business schools in the AMBA network. 1/3 of MBA students are now women, and it's a growing share. In Scandinavia, there is already balance at a few of the business schools. And different generations. Knowledge is getting outdated very quickly. Dave was is talking about digital marketing. I'm not sure whether digital marketing existed 15 years ago. And if someone did an MBA 15 years ago, by now, they would need a refresher. At AMBA, we run one-day MBA refresher events, and that's not really enough. So my idea of the MBA degree is an MBA for every decade in your career. It will vary in structure, in terms of a time demand, but someone who did an MBA in their 20s by their late 30s, need a refresher. And I personally would love to do an MBA in a couple of years again. If I applied for an MBA now that I already have an MBA, any business school would think, what's wrong with your career? Why are you coming to us? Things should change. And this bias against multiple MBAs does not need to exist. Encouragingly, in China, we see people, executives, doing multiple executive MBAs, and they do it for a slightly different reason. They do it for the networks. But it's a growing trend. There are now, for instance, people who will go to Shanghai Jiao Tong and do an MBA, and then several years later, they go to Sun Yat-sen and do another EMBA. Now, talking about the product, and we didn't synchronize our presentations, but clearly the Lego is the building, the archetypal building block. The MOOCs have done something very helpful for bringing into the spotlight the issue of modularity. There's increasingly now people do a MOOC course on digital marketing from Stanford, and they put it on their CV, they put it on LinkedIn. An MBA is not and cannot be just a sequence of these courses, but this is helpful in starting the discussion on modularity. This is in terms of content. In terms of structure, there is something Australian and New Zealand schools do really well. It is a structured building blocks of certificate, diploma, degree. So the government, the Australian government, mandates that they have to do this, and the certificate is one-third of the MBA, the diploma is two-thirds of the MBA, and then the full MBA completes the whole thing. Now, it is not an easy thing to do, because there are issues around admission and how to teach students from different streams together. But these issues can be managed. And Australian schools do it quite successfully, partly because their labor market is quite flexible, and the market is driving this demand for modularity in the programs. So the certificate and diploma can be both an entry and an exit pathway into an MBA. Professors like to think that students come to their program for the knowledge and the research that they do, but that's just part of the story. Networks and career advancement are clearly a big factor in doing an MBA. And professors now should realize that they're actually the hubs of alumni networks, and they should maximize the benefit for their students and alumni from being at the hub of these networks. Again, with the Chinese, the way they do consecutive executive MBAs, the demand there is more for networking than for knowledge, if it is within 2 or 3 years and not within after a decade has expired between two degrees. And differentiation. We didn't coordinate this, but obviously at a marketing conference, differentiation is very important. What is important about... I'll draw your attention to a geographical comparison. European business schools seem less able to drive differentiation and to create distinctiveness compared with schools in emerging markets. And that might be because of the comprehensive university legacy of a lot of business schools. While in China, there is a governance structure that encourages differentiation. What I mean is, in China, not all universities belong to the education ministry. There aren't really many private institutions, but those that are public, some are under the education ministry, some are under the finance ministry, or under industry ministries. So it is clear that the Shanghai University of Finance and Economics will sink or swim, but with the finance flag, and will be distinctive in students' minds with finance. The Beijing Institute of Technology is known for their links with the automotive industry, and that adds a color and specializations and electives in the MBA. Harbin Institute of Technology specializes in aerospace, So that attracts students who are interested in this industry. And in terms of gap analysis, there are areas where MBA programs can do more. Entrepreneurship is one thing. There isn't really a European school that would, a European MBA that immediately comes to mind if you think about entrepreneurship in the way, for instance, that Babson comes up in the United States, or in the way Wharton and finance are associated. London Business School is a good school to do a finance MBA. CAS would be a good school, but they do many other things, not specializing in one primary area. And one last thing about what students need. In the US, the key differentiating factor between a top school and a middle of the rank school is the financial support, whether your school will underwrite, will guarantee your loan if you go to do an MBA. In Europe, clearly, universities don't have the resources that American schools do, but there are encouraging signs. For instance, Prodigy Finance is one organization that has that partners with 9 European business schools, and the loans of the students are guaranteed by the school. So students need this encouragement, especially with the growth in tuition fees. They need this support from the university, and the business school has to come up with this arrangement with an external provider. And we will continue discussing these topics at our AMBA marketing and admissions forum in London on the 11th of April. So you're all welcome to come again.
Thank you very much for your